Hi, my name is Zick, and I'm a drunk. I prepared 2 cups of tea because I didn't quit drinking. I just drink different things. Sorry for my English. You know, I often share, but it's only the third time that I share in English, and the first and on the island. So I'm really happy to be here tonight to share with you my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a drunk and I feel good. I feel good because I stopped drinking 13 years ago. In my home group, on Sunday night at Saint-Hyacinthe, I joined that home group when I quit drinking, and it's still my home group. So for me, it's really, really important to have a home group. And to answer your question, there's no more this year because the GSO decided not to print because they have a lot of problems. So in 2006, we won't have it. You know, there's almost 55,000 groups in Canada and United States, and 8,000 of them, they lose the word, the law role, they lose the name of the GSO. So this is always incorporated. So they try to find another, they don't try. They are working on other database, and the groups that they have no contact with, they will be in different database. So this is one of the reasons we don't have any more. So the best thing is to call the 411 and have them. So I won't make a fifth step with you, and I won't drink it until tomorrow night because sometimes I don't know on the English side, but on the French side, I'm sometimes really tired to make meetings where people share 50 minutes how much they drink. For me, it's not important. I know, and you probably know if you are here tonight, I know how to drink. And sometimes you go in a meeting, and when you leave, you are thirsty, you know. So I've done AA 13 years ago, in a few months, after a lot of problems with alcohol. It took me at least 25 years before I realized that I was an alcoholic, you know, because I was raised in a good French-Canadian family, a good education. I went to Ottawa University, and I was living, and a few years, 25 years ago, I was living with a guy in downtown Montreal whose sister was working at Herb Tavern at the corner of Saint-Laurent and Saint-Jacques, just beside the old Bowie Mission. And on Friday night, we went to see my friend Yann and to have a beer. And you know, all the drunks of the downtown were sitting there, you know, was sitting in their tents and the bits all in their front and dancing in their front. And we were both university guys, so they were the drunks. We were the. It was impossible for me to be an alcoholic, you know. But after a while, I began to have a problem with the policeman, and I've been arrested a couple of times in downtown. You know, there's a friend of me who said that the worst thing that could happen to an alcoholic is to have an idea and it's jammed in the head, you know. And my focus was my car. I was always forgetting where I put my car. I didn't forget that I had a car. But I was looking for my car sometimes 2 hours in a row in downtown Montreal between because I was parking my car at Amherst and St. Catherine, and I was having a beer until Jacques-Cartier-Bridge. So when I went to Jacques-Cartier-Bridge, I was a little drunk. And I remember some night I was walking between René Lévesque to Ontario, all the street that way and that way, to find out my car. And when I find out my car, the police was waiting for me at the bridge. So I began to have a lot of problems, but I thought that the policeman was arresting me, you know, because I never had accident anyway. So the first time you just have a penalty, the second time, the third time you get 14 days in jail, and then a month, and then 3 months, and then 6 months, you know. And when it's 6 months, 2 days a week, because you have a restaurant and you work, you have all your vacation and all your 3 days in jail. So when I quit drinking, the demolished the Saint-Hyacinthe jail, you know, they didn't need it anymore. Anyway, I find it funny now, but by that time I was really unhappy and I just wanted to kill myself. And I remember the 10th time I've been arrested. I went to a treatment center after 12 days and I say, I guess maybe I have a problem. And the guy told me, if you stop drinking, if you stay sober for the next, until the next therapy, so it's 19 days, I was sober for 12 days, it's 31 days, it will be easy for you because your mind will be more clear. So I say, okay, 31 days, 21 days for the treatment, so it's 52 days, and I remember that I was sober 60 days before I got my in court for my sixth arrestation. So I learned after that I was drinking on break, you know, but by that time I taught myself, I proved myself I'm not an alcoholic, you know, I stay sober for 60 days. So when I went in jail, not in jail, in the treatment center, I absolutely, where's the tradition? I must see it. Is there any tradition? Anyway, I have, the only requirement, the third tradition is to have a desire to be sober. I don't know how you say that, but in my words is that, but when I went there, I had absolutely no desire to stay sober, you know. I just told myself, I will rest a little, and when I will quit, I will drink again. I had absolutely no desire, and I'm still sober since that time. And I want to tell you that AA has been founded in 1935 years. In 1935, so 67 years, 72 years ago, and it's based on suggestion. They never say you must do that. It always say I suggest you to do that. If you look at the traditions and you look at the steps, even the 12 concepts, there's no laws. It's only we suggest. So I've been suggested after the 3rd day to be on my knees and pray and ask a higher power to help me. And on that day, I heard about the Dr. Gelinek. It's like a curse. Dr. Gelinek was a doctor who made research for the federal government in the 60s. And he discovered that there's some steps in the alcoholism. You know, the first you drink 2-3 beers on Saturday night with friends, and then you drink on Friday night and Saturday night, and then you drink 6 beers, or, and your weekend begins on Thursday night and ends at Monday morning, and then you drink all day long, and you lose your wife, you steal, you had accident, and you lose your job, and you know, when you begin to drink, it's like that, and then it's decreasing until you get at the old brewing mission or you live in a park. And when you quit drinking, it goes the other side. You begin to wash yourself sometimes. You begin to look yourself in the mirror and you begin to work. Sometimes your wife coming back and so on and so on. So it goes the other way. The self-esteem is coming back. It makes a curve and they call them the curves of Gelinek daughter. And I realized that I was maybe in the second step. I didn't lose anything. I had all my friends. I still have my restaurant. I still have my family and so on. But I lost a lot of self-esteem. And you know, when they're talking in the preamble of the honesty. And by that time, the honesty is not the same that I have today than 20 years ago. It's developed. It's developing. Honesty is developing. And when I was sober for a couple of months, I realized, honestly, that I didn't lose my restaurant because I share it with my mom. So I have half. I couldn't drink her part. And they need two signatures on the check. So I didn't drink. I was protected. I didn't drink my restaurant. I didn't lose my friend. They knew that I had problems with alcohol because they picked me up at Parfait. They picked me up all the jail in Montreal. I did all the jails. But I was a funny guy, you know. I've been invited in all parties, but at midnight, when I left the party and drink alone at the bar. And at 6 o'clock, I was calling them to bring me out of the jail, you know. So they knew I was protected. So when I realized that, I also realized at the same time that I always tried to drive my life the way I wanted. And it wasn't a success, so I said, I have nothing to lose to try the AA method. And while we are in treatment, we are always working on our three biggest defects, which is pride, ego, and fear. And I had that honesty. I was always telling the therapist, you know, if you put on a scale between 0 and 10, 5 of pride, 3-4 for my ego and 2 for my fear. And I was really sincere when I was telling them. Before we left the treatment center, they say you have flash. I say, what's a flash? They say, you see it when you have one, you know. And I was 6 months over and attending a show at Salvador Trentetti from, she's a French singer. Anyway, she was singing Liberty, and I was in the first row because I always, when I was younger, I was always attend Orchestre Symphonique de Montréal and all the shows. I came to Montreal 2-3 times a week, but while you drink more and more and more, you have no money. So the first thing I did when I quit drinking was to attend show. So Isabelle Aubray, I went there and she sang the song Liberty. I won't sing it to you. I had my first flash. I was 6 months sober, and I realized that I began to drink at the age of 13 or 14 years old, and each time I was going to Place des Arts, I never wait the break, the pause, because, you know, the big bar, there's almost 1,000 people around the bar, so when you get your beer, you don't have the time to drink it. You have to go back to the show. So I was always leaving 2 songs before the pause to have the time to have 2 beers. And the same at the end, I never had a rappel. And I realized that since at that time, at the age of 13 and 14, my life was conducted by the obsession of drinking. So it was not for a flash, and I had more and more and more. I remember that one other flash I had, I spent 3 years at Ottawa University, you know, and I never wore a pair of jeans, always coats and ties, and so people told me, you're so young to be a teacher. I'm not a teacher, I'm a student. I was so snob, you know. He used that in English, and just snob. I was so snob, it's incredible the way I was snob. And maybe the scale of proud, I was 15 and 12, not 5. All my life was based on drinking and sex. And my sponsor told me, with alcoholics, there's 2 problems concerning sex. They don't have any, or they have too much. And I have too much, you know. And it hurts you as much as drinking, you know. So I did make love very often, but I made love with myself. So my ego was maybe 20 on 10. And my fear, all my life was based on the fact that I wanted to be loved. I was afraid that I'm not loved. So probably I was 16 or 17 on the scale of fear. But I didn't realize that, you know, you're beginning, you just you just want to be sober, to be more happy, because when I was drunk, when I was totally drunk, I was always crying. I don't know if you have on the English side, he often laughed of Celine Dion because she was always crying, but you bet if you knew me while I was drinking, you know, I was crying. And if I had nothing to cry, I was the guy who had his Christmas tree in the living room until May. And I was arriving home. If I didn't come to them from Montreal, had a bottle of rum with my bottle of Pepsi. 10 ounces of Pepsi and 40 ounces of rum. I just went to my little tent. And I was arriving home, light up my Christmas tree, and listening to the music, I am sick, I am stoned. All French negative and sad song, you know. And I keep, you know, the same song 3 times, 4 times, until I cry, and until I was drunk and fall down before my couch, besides my couch. So when I joined AA, I just want to feel good, to be more happy. And I remember sometimes my mom or my brothers asked me, what do you have? I didn't know what I had. I think I have this big hole in my soul that I try to fill with booze, with sex, with everything. And there's nothing to fill it but spirituality. I didn't know that when I tried. I just wanted to feel good. So when I left the treatment center, how long do I have, Karen? Just tell me, because I'm speaking enough. You know, when I was drinking, I was crying. Now I speak. Half an hour, just tell me. So when I quit this treatment center, they told us, you know, if you want to be sober, if you want to stay sober, you have to find a home group, you have to attend a meeting, you have to pray, you have to read, and you have to be involved in AA. And that's what I did. And if you look, if you read that AA comes of age at the end of the books, when the doctors, Dr. Talbot or Sickworth, those doctors, those psychiatrists who work with the alcoholics at the beginning of the fellowship, said the only thing, because the alcoholic has a big ego, you know, narcissism and ego. So it means that we are 6 billion people on the heart, but I have the nicest one, you know. And mine is gold-plated, not yours. And he said that the only way to work on that ego is to serve in AA, to learn to give. And it's the basic of the fellowship. It's the basic of the recovery program. So I didn't know what I was doing. But I tried what I've been suggested. So I joined my home, I quit the treatment the treatment center at the end of November 93, and in January 94, I worked on my fears. I was really afraid, and asked the chair of the group of Sunday night, I want to attend your business meeting. I did know at that time that it was the best, the first step of the best thing I ever did in my life, for me. And I think all the recovery program through the steps, concepts, and tradition is made to work on your ego, your fear, and your pride. And the alcoholic in my mind, and not on the truth, is a big stone. And each time you work against your ego or your pride, you use a hammer to skip that stone, and at the end you'll see a nice person inside of that stone, because we are all nice. All alcoholics are nice. Just we don't know. And so they said, you will be the literature representative. And I remember when I was studying French literature, and I had to make a report on Marcel Proust, which is a famous French author. And I didn't attend the course for 3 weeks. I guess I didn't know that I have to provide research on that book. But I was good in that. And I looked at the book for 15 minutes, and then I raised my hand. I said, I have something to tell you. And I talked about that book 3/4 of an hour, and I never read it. This is the I call it Frontbuch, how would you say that? Anyway, so when I joined AA and you told me you will be the literature representative, I said they all read that, so I can lie. So I began to read all the literature. I didn't read it to help you. I read it because I was afraid that discover that I was an ignorant. And I read all the literature. And the best thing I could tell you tonight is to buy the books and read it, because it's much more interesting than what I could tell you. But I did it. I did it because I was proud. I did it because I was afraid, but I did it, and it has been helpful for me, because I was the chair of my home group, and then I was the GSR, and then I was the DCM of my district. At each job I had in the fellowship, the fact that I read helped me. But the purpose that I read was not to help me. It was just because I was afraid. So, and then, you know, I remember the first year, each time I had to go, there was almost 145 people each Sunday night. And each time that I went in front of you to talk about literature, I was totally afraid. But each time I went back to see, there was an old member saying, "Oh, you're doing a good job." And I needed it. So I always tell that the people who refuse to serve, say no to the higher power, but they don't help themselves to have a nice sobriety. And I'm just repeating what Dr. Kirkwood wrote. They don't help the group and don't help themselves. You know, when you see people that are sober for 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, and you attend the meeting, how do you do? "Oh, so long, have a bad day," you know. Just go away from these people. Just go away. I'd like to say, to tell them, go and drink. You're so sad. One of my service sponsors told me, you have to tell your face, because your face doesn't know, you know. And then I always learn something. And I remember I was the treasurer of the intergroup in my district, and you know, I never paid my bill because I was always drinking. So, and then after a few months, you have a phone call at the job. You never know, is it Shell, the Bay, Eaton, Sixton, who's calling you? And then your heart is stretching, and you can deal with that, and you have a beer. And then I was the treasurer of a committee for the headline in my district, and the envelope for the newcomer. And I told myself, if a newcomer tried to phone and the line is off because I didn't pay the bill, I could stand that. So I began, you learn me how to put orders in my paper, and then I brought it back in my personal life. Each job you have in AA has something to bring you. You do it in AA, and then you bring it back to your life. Not the reverse thing. The horse first, and then the toboggan. I remember I was the DCM, you know, when I was the DCM, and you need to be loved, and there was a lady who was a GSR, and she was always speaking continually and disturbing everyone. But you know, I was wrong with that lady. And she was always, "Oh, you're so nice, you're so funny, you're so smart, you're so bright. How can I tell? Shut up!" Hey, but after a couple of months, the GSR began to tell me, "Hey, you're the DCM. If you don't shut up, we won't attend your district meeting." It took me 20 months to tell her to shut up, because we have our, in the tradition, our common welfare. Thank you. It's more important. That lady doesn't talk to me anymore. It's 9 years ago. It's their problem. But when I finished my mandate as DCM, I had an intensive of the what I call, anyway, it's a bit hard for me. But I learned a lot. That I'm mostly what I learned is that I could be a leader, and that in AA, when you have a job, you're not there to be loved. You have a job to do. And then I realized, because I had a lot of course, I tried a lot of things, I never finished anything. You know, I got, when I was younger, I said, oh, I drink because I'm stressed, so I have some management at the college about stress. I didn't finish it. I was drinking because I was tired. So mom sent me to Mexico because I didn't have the money to go there. Oh, I have some courses about colors. You know, courses about colors? You imagine that you have white color in your left hand. You use it and twist around your head, get up on your, and then and you put the color you want. But I can tell you, if you put green, black, olive, I tried everything in top of your car. When you drink 24 beers, you're not as protected as the color top. So I try a lot of things, but I never finished it as theater and so on and so on. So, and then I realized when I ended my responsibility as DCM that you learned me to be more responsible. I began a job and I finished it. I began my job as chair of the group, I began my job as DCM, as GSR, and I always ended it. And the job learn you, teach you something if you go until the end of the job. If you quit, you stay the same that you always were, unresponsible guy. And then after that year, I've been approached to be the internal communications coordinator. So the yellow, the echo bulletin, and the blue sheet, all the news that you receive from the area. So I said, how come there's 28 DCM and we ask it to me to be the internal? Because when you need to be loved, it's not the best job. Because sometimes you have to refuse to distribute. Sometimes if it doesn't respect the AA tradition, you call the DCM, you call the coordinator, you call the responsible of the corn even. It's not AA what you're talking on your flyer. I can use these flyers to talk about my restaurant. You can use these flyers to talk about your party. It has to become from a group or a district, your party. So I'd like that you do another flyer. When you need to be loved, it's not easy sometimes. It took me 1 month before calling the guy and say, he was so upset. He said, I prefer 600 of them, but it says in your binder that you have to contact the coordinator before to print it, or contact Claudette at the office and ask her, is it AA stuff or not? Because she knows Claudette is working for us for 27 years now. She's not an alcoholic, but she knows the tradition. So if you just contact, there's a structure in AA. For those who think there's no structure, there's a structure. In Andrew sees it somewhere, he says, Bill Rose in 1960, I guess, when we talking about simplicity in AA, we are talking about the spirituality. You can believe a God as the one you want. But when we're talking about service, there's a structure, because see, if there's no structure, it would be the chaos. And chaos is not simplicity. So there's a structure, and that structure taught us to be more responsible, to be more involved with our fellowship. And then I finished that mandate, and I've been asked to introduce myself as alternate delegate. So all the fears I had came back, you know what? Because I told myself, how will I deal if I'm not elected? Is my problem be able to deal with that reject? Because you sometimes don't make the difference. I didn't make the difference because between a no and reject, it's not the same. But I was easily elected. And last year I was elected as delegate of the area 87, so I'm your delegate. And It's the most enjoyable thing that could happen in the life of an alcoholic. I wish you all that to be the delegate. And last weekend we have the welcoming assembly for new GSR, and one of them, he was maybe 25, 26, he was young, and he came to me and said, "What did you do to be the delegate?" I didn't know nothing. I just say yes when I've been asked. And so I always say yes, because you know, I feel, that's my faith, that God always uses your men to bring his dialogue. So when some people, or when Karen, for instance, call me, God, he can call me, I'm too deaf to hear him, but he used Karen to catch me. When Karen called me to share tonight, she's the representative of my higher powers. So each time that I'm asking to do a job, I always tell, if you need me, if you will, I will have the energy, I will have the time to do the job. And you know, Dr. Bob didn't write a lot of things Bill wrote, but there's one major thing that Bob wrote was, the job that is waiting for you is not as important as the grace that will help for you. And so sometimes, you know, last year when I attended the conference, I was sitting and say, I don't know if I have everything to be there. And Greg, the GSO director, said, "You have everything to be there." But you know, you sit on Sunday night, there's a dinner for they call it the dinner for trustees, and there's no jeans. It's all recovery people, you know, there's nice ladies and 250 people who are all attending. It's really nice to see that, and it brought me a large impression. And then I was sitting and thinking, because I think that we can make the recovery program with the five slogan. I was thinking, and then I say, "Oh, these are all alcoholics, you know. All of them, one of them was sick in the boiler toilet. He lost his venture, he lost his wife, he lost his job. All these people have something concerning alcohol. And now all of them, after a couple of years, seems to be really a citizen." As Bill wrote, the purpose of joining AA is not only to quit drinking, is to become a citizen of the society. So that means that I remember that when my grandmother died, I really love my grandmother. And my father is a 13 family member, and I was a drunk a full bottle of cognac before to go to the funeral. So when I arrived, I was a little drunk, and then I just did the show of my first aunt at the, see, they are 13, it was like a bowling, you know, I followed all the 13 of them, because I was drunk, you know. But when my father died a couple of years ago, I was 3 years sober, I did what I had to do. To be a citizen is to work, to clean yourself, to be part of the society that you were. You know, Bill wrote in the big book that the difficulty of an alcoholic is to be part of the society. He's always alone, he's always apart, he's always... That's what I did. When I was drunk, I went to the bar with my beer, with my poker machine, and no one, I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I was alone in my kingdom. And after 25 years, AA said it's not the way to live. It's not a citizen. It's not the way a citizen lives. You have to be a citizen. So you have to work and do everything. So that's what I'm trying to do. I remember because I built a house in, I'm living in St. Catherine, and I built a house in Bromo. A couple of years ago, you know, the biggest house of the street. 60 different trees and 200 different plants and so on and so on. I'm single, you know. And I'm leaving 60 minutes from there, and it wasn't simple, you know. And then I realized after 3 years that I was not happy there in that huge house. So I decided I had to work on my craft and decided to sell that house and build another one close to my restaurant. And by the same time, I decided also to buy all the part of my mom. She has 50% of the restaurant, 50% of an apartment block that we have. So I had to go six times the lawyer, six times the accountant, six, seven times at the banker. I began to work on that in August. And it was all finished in December. It took 4 months. And then I called my sponsor and said, yes, I'm doing a little recovery. Because that sometimes I would say to the bankers, go to hell, you know, the sixth time he refused to give me the money. But a citizen doesn't say to the bankers, go to hell, or eat chip. A citizen say, okay, I'm going to make my whole work. And I can go back home and met the accountant, and then we may present different papers. So I'm happy. You know, I have a brother who's living at Comox on Vancouver Island. He's much more younger than I. And his wife wasn't my cup of tea, you know. I 6 years I didn't visit them because of my sister-in-law. Anyway, after 6 years I went there, and three weeks after she called me and said, you know, look, I was really happy the way you were when you visited us last month. I said, yes. She said, yes, I decided to go to Aladdin. I said, Stefan isn't drinking. I said, I know he's not an alcoholic, but I just want to learn your steps because of your change. And she's still doing Aladdin. And last year they spent all the full year in the province because they have three kids and they want them learn, improve their English. So almost every 2 weekends, my house was full with my nephews and nieces and my sister-in-law. And I was so proud because I really love her now because you taught me that. And then she calls and say, I hope that I go back to live in Quebec for the rest of my life once. And when your little niece is 4 years old and she came and climbed on your knee and say, oh, I love you so much, Uncle Luke, you know, because of you, because of you. One of my other brothers had his first baby at the age of 48, and he has a new baby at 50. That's why I was late, because I said he's living at Saint-Hubert, and I just want to kiss the baby, because she's my new niece is 3 weeks now, and I said, oh, half an hour. And my nephew is 20 months. Oh, Uncle Luke. I'm sure that while I was drinking, I have no attraction for these kids. And it's because of you. So I thank you a lot. I'm going to try to serve in happiness, because for me it's important to serve in happiness. It's not a bad thing to join AA. It's a funny thing. My house is always full of friends. Always. I make party. I like party. I don't drink anymore, but I like party. 2 years ago, we have a brunch. I was 15. All the members of the steering committees and closest friends. And because of the rotation, there's some people that you don't see anymore, so I invited them. This Friday, it's my home group. We will all attend. Maybe we will be 25 in the house, because we will discuss about the theme of the conference. It's important for me. And then we will have pizza, and we'll play cards and play games and so on. Because it lasts 24 hours, 7 days. It's just not only the moment of the meeting. So, and now, you know, one of the promises says you'll never be alone. And I believe in that. I could travel all around the United States and Canada and without paying a room in an hotel, because I have friends all around, and friends, Hispanic friends, and English friends. And there's a forum next special for him at Rimouski. This August, I'm anxious because I know that my friends from Ontario that I've met at the conference, I said, you will sleep home one night, and one night we'll sleep at Patricia's home in La Beauce, and we'll be almost arrived at Rimouski, and we make party of everything. And December, the young people in AA called me last September, said we need the help of the delegate. Anyway, I attended their meeting, and on December 30, there were 7 young people in my house, and we cooked 1,000 sandwiches. It's a lot of sandwiches for the party at Cégep Maisonneuve-Rosemont. But these kids could be my sons. And they say, will you have some music? I say, well, yes, I have music. Will we drink? I don't know, I have my own music. It's December. We have to listen to real and dance and folkloric music. I say, okay, look. And we really had fun, you know. So when I attend meeting with young people, they know me now. So I have friends everywhere, all colors and all different languages. And for me, it's important. And I don't want to talk anymore. But I hope that you love AA as much as I do. And thanks a lot to bring me and taught me all I learned. Thank you.
Thank you.